From all of us at the AAO Studios to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays, y'all. Coming at you from the AAO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AAO Studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Adam Silver is proud of the NBA product. There have been some key signings in baseball, and we have the Festivus airing of grievances for all of you to enjoy. But we begin today's show with all the fun that happened this weekend. The Commies' comeback win against the Eagles, despite five turnovers, was absolutely incredible. I watched that whole game. The Eagles lost Hurts early and still almost won the game with Kenny Pickett. So, Z, which team are you more impressed with on Sunday? Commies coming back and winning, or the Eagles really staying in it all the way up until 8 seconds left in the game?
Kenny Pickett's also being evaluated for a rib injury, too. So we'll see what happens there. But there are two teams that have come back from five turnovers this year and won. The Detroit Lions and the Commanders. So, gritty, steely resolve. This is about the Commanders. It's not about the Eagles. You lose your quarterback. That's a big deal. Try and weather the storm with your backup quarterback. And he did. Kenny Pickett played okay. And he played like a backup quarterback. He's exactly what should have happened. Saquon ran the ball effectively, ran the ball well. But you got to be able to close. Gotta be able to close. With the level of talent that the Eagles have, the Commies came back and took it. That's how I see it. They overcame adversity, and they beat a wounded animal, like they should have, right? The Eagles were wounded, the Commies pounced. And, you know, Jaden Daniels didn't have the best of days. Yeah, five touchdowns, awesome, two picks, that's a problem. That's a major problem. You know, he was also the leading rusher on the team. Brian Robinson coughed up a couple. He had some issues with the fumbleitis. But overall, the Commies were able to withstand it, and they were able to take care of business. Now, you're not going to get Olamide Zaccheaus. You're not going to get that level of production again. Five catches, 7 yards, two tutties, right? That's not going to be him. Like, that's not who he is. Jameson Crowder, all right, he poached a couple in the red zone, right? Two catches, 15 yards for two tutties. That's effective. That's efficient. You have 100% touchdown catch percentage. Good for you, man. That's awesome. Good for you, Jameson Crowder. But McLaurin, 5 for 60. Pedestrian day, right? 12 yards a catch, but a touchdown. This was essentially one team fighting for their playoff lives, the other team trying to wrestle the first round bye away from Detroit. Now, Detroit took care of business against the Bears. It's just a little bit of bad luck and bad timing that Jalen Hurts, you know, didn't survive the first quarter. So what do you do? And is this team going to be good enough with Kenny Pickett if Jalen Hurts has to miss a significant amount of time because concussions are tricky, as we know? You know, you could be fine, or you could still have trouble, you know, adjusting to the light in the room 2 weeks from now. Like, we don't know the severity. And that hit, that was pretty, that was a pretty vicious hit. He got spiked. He got spiked on his head. So I don't expect it to be that, oh, you know, he just got his bell rung. He's back. Dude looked out of it. Like, eyes were glazed over, like Krispy Kreme glazed over. So if Jalen Hurts did not get injured, I fully expect that the Eagles would have been able to better take care of business against the Commanders, because that's what they do. You know, they're healthy and whole, and they would have been able to weather the storm better. But kudos to the Commanders. They pounced when they needed to pounce. They overcame those obstacles. They overcame that adversity, and they're one step closer to clinching that wild card berth for a team that, you know, I don't think we had better, more expectations than years previous, but I don't think we expected dregs of the division, number two pick, to now playoff team. I don't know if we expected that level of a turnaround, but kudos to Dan Quinn. Kudos to Jaden Daniels. Kudos to everybody on that team for taking care of business and standing on principle yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, in one drive, Jaden Daniels ended the Eagles' 10-game win streak. He eliminated the Cowboys, and he eliminated the 49ers. That's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive. But I'm going to take the flip side of this, Z. I'm going to take the Eagles. I think for them to lose their quarterback in the first quarter and still have the resolve to hang with a division opponent on the road all the way into the end of the game, and pretty much the offense left the field with the lead, I think that's very impressive. We've seen Jaden Daniels come back before. We know what this guy is made of. We know how good he is. He is really great. And if he can gain some weight, he could be the future for the Washington franchise for sure. But, you know, it's a team sport. And I think with the injury to Jalen Hurts, I think Kellen Moore might have learned a little something. A little more diversification on offense isn't bad, right? And there are Devonta Smith
catch. Oh, the drop.
From really winning the game. I mean, he gets that. It's a first down, and it changes the outcome of the game. And let's be real. I mean, if Hurts was played the whole game, I think it still would have been close. I think it still came down to the end. The outcome might have been the same, but
I don't necessarily think so. I respectfully disagree on that, because you get five turnovers on defense and your starting quarterback is in, compared to Kenny Pickett, you're running things differently.
I think Kenny brought more diversification to the offense. There's not a lot of design runs for Kenny Pickett, and
for Kenny Pickett.
And Saquon Barkley, I mean, is really just crushing it. And AJ Brown got what he needed. Like, there was just, the ball was flowing to everybody. You know, the quarterback really should be the distributor of the football, not really carrying the ball and scoring the touchdowns all the time. And obviously Jalen Hurts going down yesterday messed up a lot of people's fantasy Sundays. But no, I mean, it was definitely impressive, but I'm going to stick with the Eagles on this one. And I agree with you. I think that Kenny Pickett has a real opportunity here. If Hurts can't play next week or has to miss any time, well, Kenny, this is what it's all about. You're getting a second chance here, because Pittsburgh lets you go. Because you were just being a complete moron there. So now you have an opportunity to win with a team that has a good offensive line, that has good players at the skilled positions, and that can really make some headway into the playoffs. I think the Eagles are out of it now, right? They can't get the bye anymore, right?
I think they're 12-3. I'm pretty sure. I mean, unless the Lions and Vikings both bottom out, I don't see it.
Which can't happen, because they're playing each other
in week 18. Yeah,
yeah. So the Eagles are out.
Well, over an extended period of time here, hopefully this is nothing serious. And we talked about the rib injury. You know, if Kenny Pickett can't go, how deep is your quarterback depth at that point? You know, in years past, the Eagles have had to rely on, like, the Nate Sudfelds of the world. So they've started games for the Eagles. You're looking at, Tanner McKee is your third-string quarterback. So if, God forbid, something is really wrong with Kenny Pickett and Jalen Hurts isn't ready to go, you know, what are you doing? You know, I mean, Howie Roseman's going to do what Howie Roseman does. Like, does he, like, pull the rabbit out of the hat and go, like, sign Teddy Bridgewater or some shit? Because I know he's interested in coming back after winning the high school championship. Like, how are they going to make a move to ensure that they're ready come playoff time? Because ribs are tricky, especially if it's, you know, if it's broken, he's got to wear the flak jacket. It becomes a different, you know, different scenario. And if Hurts is out for an extended period of time with a concussion, like, you're now down to, you know, you're down to, like, the dregs, the bottom of the barrel here. So this is where Howie Roseman comes in.
Yeah, I mean, would you consider not even playing Hurts when he's ready to play? Would you consider just holding him out until the playoffs? Because they've already clinched a playoff spot.
Right.
So, I mean, what are you really...
They're holding him out week 18 against the Giants anyway, because it's the Giants. Like, they could have Saquon run the Wildcat and beat the Giants. Like, they could not dress a quarterback and probably beat the Giants.
I guess the whole issue here is, like, if Washington wins next week and the Eagles lose, the Commies can still win the division.
Eek. Yeah, so that's on brand, tough. Though, with Nick Sirianni. Like, Nick Sirianni, yeah. they're the ultimate front runners, and then they come back to the pack. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we're going to see.
Washington's last game is against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Wow, so they play the Falcons this weekend. That's a layup. And then they have the Cowboys.
It's a layup, man. Like, I'm not so sure it's a layup.
It's Sunday night in Andover. It's going to be a layup. Michael Penix Jr. playing outside for the first time. And the Commies have a chance to be in play for the division and possibly get a playoff spot. Yeah. What they just did to the Eagles. They're gonna come to play against this rookie. Dan Quinn against a rookie.
We've seen teams gag things up before. So any given Sunday, anything can happen. Just look at last night. Look at Sunday Night Football, right? Oh, Cowboys-Bucks. This is a mismatch. The Buccaneers-Cowboys won. So until you take the field, there's always a possibility. That's why coaches get paid. That's why players get paid. You still have the opportunity to affect change regardless.
Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, aka your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for The Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
Speaking of affecting change, right? You're talking about haves and you're talking about haves, have-nots, 50 feet of crap. Let's talk about the college football that was this weekend, specifically the playoff. You know, let's not talk about the Gasparilla Bowl and, you know, the Myrtle Beach Bowl that's going to be played today. Go Teal. Ugh, it's been all chalk in this college football playoff. Penn State scrubbed out SMU, who I thought was going to play a lot better than they did. Notre Dame drubbed Indiana, as expected. Ohio State blasted Tennessee. And then Texas scrapped Clemson. Not a great showing for the first year of the 12-team tournament. Any chance we can whittle this down to 8 teams, or are they going to double down and continue to expand?
I don't think they're going to continue to expand, but I think they're just going to be happy with this 12-team playoff, and it's just garbage. It's garbage. You texted me and you're like, oh, SMU against Penn State. Penn State plays closer games. Are you sure Penn State's going to? Yeah, I'm 100% sure Penn State is going to beat Southern Methodist coming to Penn State to play in Beaver Stadium. Yes, 100% in December. There's no chance. There's no chance. Ohio State against Tennessee in Ohio State in December. Yeah. Is Peyton Manning playing quarterback? No. Yeah, that's an L. Like, this is football. This isn't basketball. It's not any given Saturday, Z. It's any given Sunday. Saturday is for the college boys. Saturday is, oh, we are way better than you. We're going to stomp you out. Notre Dame, that game, I watched just the first quarter, and I already knew it was over. I was like, all right, I'm good. Battle of Indiana goes to Notre Dame. Shocker. Like, I was not impressed with the play. I was not surprised by, Clemson. Clemson going to Texas. Texas, arguably the best team in the nation, I would argue. No chance, man. But this is for, you know what this is for, Z? This is for the alumni. This is for the SMU alumni who their team never gets a sniff of, you know, playing for a national title. Oh, we get to travel to Penn State and watch them play. Oh, Tennessee, you know, we haven't really been in contention since T. Martin was the quarterback. Oh, we get to go to Ohio State and watch. Oh, we have a chance. Oh, and this is also so team like Boise State, you know, they have a chance. Like, that's, this is what, this is for the alumni. You know, this is all this is for. I don't give a shit about it. I don't know a lot of people that really tuned in and thought there was going to be an upset. Come on, did you really? I mean, we were talking about Penn State against SMU. How much of you really thought SMU was going to go into Beaver Stadium and beat Penn State?
Knowing James Franklin and his coaching record and seeing that he's gagged games away at home against lesser competition, it's certainly a possibility. Not a strong possibility, but definitely a possibility. James Franklin is not a good football coach. He's not good. He's not a good. We saw it at Vanderbilt. We saw it here. He's not that good.
Does he have to be that good to beat SMU?
He has to be good enough to get there. Yes. Like, so he could be outcoached by a lesser team. We've seen it. We have seen it. Now he's getting a challenge. Right? Now he's gonna. Now they're
you
gonna
think
get
SMU,
somebody who's better.
SMU was. Oh no! You're saying in the next round he's gonna get a challenge.
He's gonna get a challenge in the next round.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's Southern Methodist University. They're from University Park, Texas. They're going to Penn State, one of the biggest stadiums in college football, and playing a game at night in the cold. Come on, man. Come on.
I think you're also unfairly kind of shitting on some of these schools. Like Clemson is recently had national championships. Yeah, they're
recently,
down. They're down because Dabo Sweeney refuses to play the NIL game. So it's a little hubris and stupidity on his part. But they could be national contenders if Dabo wanted to be. But he's not playing the game. Like, that's pretty dumb.
Okay, so that's even – okay, so that gives you even more. Like, you're bringing up a good point. In a year where nil and playing the game is as important as ever, how could I expect a Clemson team to go into Texas and beat Texas?
Right.
Like, there's no chance. That's why I'm saying, like, 12 teams – it just doesn't. Remember, we talked about it last year. There are just certain teams I don't need to see. I don't need to see SMU play Penn State. I don't need to see Clemson go to Texas. I don't need to see that garbage. Tennessee against Ohio State, I guess it's okay, but we're SEC against the Big Ten. I don't need to see it. I don't need. Maybe if they're playing in a neutral site, in a dome, but you're asking them to go to the horseshoe and beat Ryan Day, who beats every team other than Michigan? Come on, it's just not, it's not worth my time.
And also, to be clear, I don't want to see Alabama, and I don't want to see Ole Miss, so shut the fuck up.
No,
you guys lost three games, get out.
No, I don't want to. You're 100% right. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see any of it.
But that's where we're trending. The SEC tournament is going to end up being like the national tournament, because what's going to happen is like, exactly what we're talking about here. These Big 10, Big 12, all these programs come together, like ACC, and then they get their doors blown off by SEC teams or Big 10 teams. Like, this is what's happening. The haves are the haves, the have-nots, and then everybody else. And the Big 10 the Big 10 and the SEC are going to secede, and, you know, the whole Power 5 is really becoming Power 2. And eventually they're going to have their own goddamn tournament, and then it'll be everybody else. It's going to be everybody else. But they're not going backwards. I think you and I can agree they're not going backwards. If anything, they're going to expand because, as always, the answer to all of our questions is money. If they got the viewership and they got the advertising money that they asked for and that they wanted, they're going to keep going. Product be damned.
I don't really even know if this next round is worth my time. Texas against Arizona State, I think I would give
Hook 'em horns.
I'd give the upper hand there. Ohio State against Oregon might be a good game, but they're playing this in Oregon. It's playing at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
it's at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, so it's kind of a neutral.
But Oregon is nominally the home team. You're playing on the West Coast. They're acclimated to West Coast time. Ohio State is definitely going to be... Ohio State's definitely going to be the underdog in this.
I'm still giving it to Oregon. Notre Dame, Georgia. I think Georgia fucking destroys Notre Dame in this
game. Even without Carson Beck?
Doesn't matter. They're just better team. They're a better defense. Good Lord. Five players on Notre Dame might die in this game. They might die on Wednesday, January 1st.
Oh, my God.
At least it's played in a neutral site, right? Yeah. That's played in a neutral site.
Yeah, the next round are played at the neutral site.
No, this is still garbage. This is still garbage. I mean, but if I would prefer this garbage over last week's garbage. I would prefer to watch Oregon scrape Ohio State rather than watch Notre Dame destroy Indiana. So cut down on the garbage I've got to see. I don't want to see it, Z. I want to see good football. And the other thing is we get into injuries. We get into, now I'm not getting the best of Georgia. Now I'm not getting the best of Notre Dame. Like, okay, this isn't like professionals, right? Like, we're not gearing, they don't gear up and then play another game. You've got a rested Oregon team. You know, you've got a rested Georgia team. It's like, come on. Like, what are we doing here? What
you
are we doing?
You have a rested Boise State team. I noticed you didn't mention that. You didn't break
down. That's fair to say. You do have a rested Boise State team.
Lesser versus tested.
But that game might be a little closer. But I would still tilt towards Boise. Wouldn't
That's
you?
Fair. I would. Well, I think Boise State's better than Penn State. I think James Franklin's going to shit the bed at the worst possible time.
Right. This is the game where he shits the bed. Not against SMU, not against like a team like Tennessee, but against a team like Boise State, who is a legit top five team in the country.
Yeah.
And Penn State is not. Penn State is a name and a place. And under certain conditions is a problem. But no, in general, no. Not at all.
No, not at all. I mean, we'll see what's going to happen here. But you definitely have the issue. Like, you hit the nail on the head. The NIL, that's a factor, right? You have all the sponsorship. You have ESPN just pumping the shit out of this tournament. It's not going back. We're not going back to the BCS.
I don't know. We'll see. I know we're not going back to the BCS.
And maybe we should, though.
I can see. No, you know, I can't. You're right. I can't see them going down to 8 teams because everybody wants their money. Like, SMU got money.
Right.
Tennessee got money. They all got money. And it's in a time when they would never get money, right? Like, they haven't gotten money in years. And now they're getting big bucks because of this. And they're always going to be components of, well, you know what? We may not spend the most in nil, but if we can be an 8 seed or a 10 seed.
Just get in.
Or a 7 seed, this program is worth continuing.
And it's mimicking more of the professional product because all you have to do is get in. You get in, you get hot, you can win it. Like, that's the thing. And, you know, you look
but
at...
But that's not true.
No, not at the college
not
level.
Not at the college football level. In college basketball, that's happened, and it can happen. And mostly because that's a gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
And that's a gauntlet where you can get exposed if you are lacking in a certain area.
Oh, completely. And, you know, but the talent disparity is there completely. I mean, just look at what you mentioned college basketball.
Mets.
Look at Wisconsin Green Bay with Doug Gottlieb. Did you see that?
Yeah, he was like, I saw that.
Yeah, it's like no name you. No name you just beat you. So shut up, pal. You might want to start drafting that resignation letter and going back to ESPN. So,
well, he's a clown, so that's what happens to clowns.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Moving on to baseball. Excellent, excellent to talk about baseball in December. Christian Walker signed with the Astros. Paul Goldschmidt signs a one-year deal with the Yankees. Nolan Arenado blocks a trade that would have sent him to the Astros. And just this morning, it looks like Walker Buehler is going to be a Boston Red Sox.
So that's not going to end well.
Which is the biggest story for you?
You also left out Nathaniel Lowe getting traded to the Nationals. There's also Lowe from the Rangers, the starting first baseman for the Texas Rangers. Jock Peterson, your boy, just went to the Rangers. Sean Manaea is back with the Mets. So this weekend has been huge. Josh Naylor got traded to the Diamondbacks and the Guardians.
That is actually very impressive.
What the hell are the Guardians doing? Can you explain to me? They traded Jimenez. They traded Naylor. What the fuck are the Guardians doing? They re-signed Carlos Santana for the third time. Carlos Santana has been a Guardian. He's been an Indian twice and a Guardian an Indian once and a Guardian twice. Like, what is going on here? What is Cleveland doing? What do they know that we don't know? But this has been impressive. Now, the Goldschmidt thing, Yankee fans are kind of mixed about. I get it. He's 37 years old. He wanted a multi-year contract. He only got a one-year deal, so relax, pump the brakes. If it helps you get Nolan Arenado, who's a gold glove level third baseman, I think it's something you have to do. You have to consider. Now, they blocked. The Cardinals blocked a straight-up swap of Stroman for Arenado, which, frankly, if I were the Cardinals, I would laugh and hang up the phone too. But this kind of makes things a little bit easier, right? Like, oh, we got one of Arenado's best friends on the team, like former teammate, yada yada. DJ LeMahieu's still there. They played in Colorado together. So there's something there. The Yankees could get him and maybe not necessarily give up their best prospects if they're willing to eat salary. So I think the Arenado thing is intriguing, coupled with the Goldschmidt thing. Christian Walker, I find it very interesting that he went before Pete. He's the last man standing, right? If we really look at the first baseman, Pete is the best of the bunch. He's the one that's left. So Christian Walker signed a four-year contract. So what is Pete getting?
Are you surprised?
I'm very surprised. I'm surprised that he went off the board first. I think it was a question of, hey, I'm 4 years older. I'm going to be out of this game soon. I'm going to transition to a DH eventually. So let me get my money while I can. Pete's younger. So I'm very intrigued as to what's going to happen here because the market has been set for him.
Yeah.
And he rejected the Mets contract, which would have been, significantly higher. Now, do they come back now with a 4 or 5 year contract? Okay, we'll take you to 35. Vientos is here. He'll, eventually we'll transition you to DH. Vientos will play first base more. I think it opens up some options for you.
I'm just surprised there's not a bigger market for Pete. It just seems like it seems like everybody balked at his numbers, and it's really coming down to what the Cubs and the Mets now, because now the Yankees are out.
They're out. The Yankees are absolutely out because of the Goldschmidt thing. Oakland is spending. Oakland is definitely spending. So I think the Athletics are spending. Excuse me. They are transient people. They are no longer of Oakland. But they're spending. They brought in Severino. They're making moves, right? They brought in Gio Urshela. Basically, they're just bringing in old Yankees. So it's a possibility. They could definitely... I could see that. You pair him with Rooker, and now you have the new Bash Brothers in Sacramento. So that's definitely an option.
That sounds awful.
You'd be
that sounds like if you're Pete, is that you looking at it like, are you really looking at it like that?
I'm looking at it as like, what are my options here? Like, what is realistically on the table?
Because we're not paying around here.
Scott Boras is royally fucking this up. He fucked up Montgomery last year. He fucked up Martinez last year. And now it looks like he's kind of fucking up Pete Alonso's market. So I mean, it's really Mets or bust, man. At this point, it really feels like Mets or bust. And if the Mets screw this up, like if the Mets, you have a homegrown Met who's like there waiting for you. You know?
Yeah, well, the only thing I would argue, Z, is I feel like now the Mets have all the power. Because now you've gone and tested the waters. We've told you what the number is. You don't want to believe us. And now that number is getting smaller every day. Because at some point, the Cubs will make a decision. And now there's only one place for you to play.
Yeah.
And then we'll give you what we want to give you. We'll give you what's left. We'll give you crumbs. And that's it.
You also have the Japanese first baseman who's coming next year. So there's one more year on that. So teams may not be willing to pay him. You know, they may not be willing to pay Pete when they can go get the Japanese first baseman who's supposedly really good. I haven't seen him play. But, you know, they might be holding it. And, you know, they have the Cubs may be holding out for that because you have Seiya Suzuki. You have a little bit of a foothold in Japan. So it might be something that's intriguing to, I believe his name is Nakamura, but I could be wrong about that. But, you know, the shortening of the market for Pete is really interesting. But as far as, like, on the field, the Buehler to the Red Sox thing is interesting. Like, I don't know if he's going to be super successful there. Just because, I don't know, I don't think the Red Sox are that great of a team. And he's going from Dodger Stadium to Fenway Park. Like, that's definitely something. And his injury history. It just seems like a bad fit for me. He would have been better served probably going to, you know, stay with the Dodgers, for that matter, even on a shorter term contract. He's going to be a front of the rotation guy, whether he's going to be able to be.
It's only a 1-year deal.
Yeah. Well, still, like, he's going to be their front of rotation guy. Like, who are they going to put in front of him? Brian Baio? Tanner Houck? Like, who?
Yeah.
Cutter Crawford? Like, no, you've
said. Breslow.
God bless Craig Breslow. Yeah, I just see it as an ill fit. I don't know. But of all of them, we have two balls still up in the air, right? You have Arenado. And then you got Pete. The Arenado thing, I don't know. Like, what are the Cardinals realistically hoping to get here? Like, it's a salary dump. Like, you.
Well, hold on. Well, he blocked the trade.
He blocked the trade, but at the same time, like, what is the Cardinal?
What's the market?
What are they realistically hoping to achieve by trading Nolan Arenado? Because you're not going to get the prospects you think you're going to get. You're getting salary alleviation, correct?
So, yeah, I'm sure they're just looking for B and C level prospects. Like, whatever. Like, we're kicking the can this year. You know, that's clearly what the Cardinals are doing. I mean, they're getting rid of all their best players. So, you know, they're resetting.
And there's one guy we didn't mention yet is Alex Bregman. So
he hasn't signed yet.
But he's up in the air. Who would you rather? All right, let's play this game, right? You have Arenado, who you would have to acquire, who you have to send prospects for, who may or may not block the trade, or a guy like Alex Bregman, who you just have to throw some money at. Yeah, you're gonna lose your qualifying offer, but you're gonna lose the picks that come with that. But at the end of the day, it's really just throwing money at the problem. Who would you rather have?
Well, no, I think the problem here, right, is that if you're Alex Bregman, the Astros have pretty much said they don't want you. Right? If they're willing to trade for Nolan Arenado, they don't want you. I don't want to go to a place where I'm not wanted. So
he's done with Houston.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, and that to me is very surprising. But I would rather have Bregman because I do think he's a really good player. But the most surprising thing to me is that Arenado blocking the trade to Houston. Why would you block the trade to Houston? Like, what? They play in a dome. It's Texas. Like, what are you? What's the problem? Do you not want to win? They're in contention to win. They have a really good team. They're putting a nice team together this year. They went and got Christian Walker. Their front office seems to know what they're doing. They've been in the mix the last couple of years. Like, is it because you want to go to the Yankees? Why would you want to go play for the Yankees? Why would you want to go there?
Unless it's some sort of guardian of the game thing where he doesn't want to go and associate himself with air quote cheaters. Like, unless it's like
and you want to go to the Yankees.
Unless what? You're going to a, unless it's a moral standpoint, I don't understand it because you're arguably
you want to go play in Sacramento. I don't know where are you going? You ain't going to Seattle.
He's blocked by Gio Urshela. Let's be real here. He's blocked by Gio Urshela out
like,
in Sacramento.
What's the market for an aging third
baseman?
He can't
even go play in San Francisco, dude, because he's got Adamas and Chapman. They're better than Nolan Arenado right now. That pair is better than him. So,
right. That's what I'm trying to say. What's the market for you, bruh? What is he, 34, 36? Some
33, 34. I still think the Orioles, he gives you a veteran presence. He can pick it at third base.
You'd rather go play for the Orioles than go play for the Astros? I'd rather go play for the Astros. Where would you rather play?
That roster in Baltimore is intriguing because I can argue that it's a veteran presence away. And Nolan Arenado, like, he will provide that veteran presence. Like, yeah, it may cost me like a Jordan Westberg or something like that, but
he doesn't come off to me as that kind of guy, Z. He comes off to me as a guy who comes and plays baseball and leaves. He doesn't come off to me as a, like, a leader. He doesn't come off to me as, like, you know, a motivator. Like, he looks like, I'm just here to play baseball, guys. Like, and I'm out of here. And just playing baseball. Like, not to be, I'm not trying to be a dick about it. He takes his position very seriously. He takes playing baseball very seriously. And that's all I'm here to do. I'm here to do my job. I'm going to try to bat, I'm going to try to bat over 270. And I'm going to try to hit about 20, 25 bombs. Like, that's what he is at this point,
he's
right?
The good thing is that he's also not, he's not totally made by Denver, right? We've seen this before with guys who were Colorado Rockies, and all of a sudden they take a significant dip. Nolan Arenado has proven that he's a good baseball player outside of the Mile High. So,
right, and he was a defensive stalwart for a number of years. Yes. He has, I believe, 9 or 10 gold gloves.
Well, he's a stud. He can pick it.
He didn't get a glove. He didn't get a gold glove last year. But that to me is the biggest story. Is like, why would you block a trade? Because the thing, and this is the kicker, Z, is like, they didn't do this without talking to him first. So they pretty much talked to him about going to Houston. Mm-hmm. He said no. And they're like, all right, we're going to publicly say we tried to trade you and you're going to have to block this trade.
Something
he's
is
like,
missing.
Fine, I will.
Something and is missing.
It's like
here.
They call
it. It is. Yeah. Either he's trying to. He's like, okay, I'll come to you, but we have to renegotiate my deal. Or it's a moral, or it's a moral thing. Like, that's the only thing that I can think of. It's an ethical thing with him. It's either Houston won't renegotiate, or it's some sort of ethical thing. That's the only thing I can think of.
Okay, so you think he's blocking the trade because he wants a new contract?
It's the only thing that makes sense. Like,
not because he doesn't want to play there.
Do you not want to win? Do you not want a climate-controlled ballpark?
But the only thing that's why, is it about winning? Because if it's about winning, he may feel like he has a better chance to win with the Yankees. And then Goldschmidt's there now. He may just like that opportunity better for him. But the Yankees probably are not they're not willing to give up maybe more prospects for him. And the Cardinals are like, well, we're not talking to the Yankees about
it. Right. Here's Earth to St. Louis. You're not going to get Spencer Jones for Nolan Arenado. So you're not going to get Jason Dominguez for Nolan Arenado.
I don't think they want that.
If you're telling me Pereira or Yorby Nivas, Peraza, you know, even Austin Wells. Austin Wells is no big freaking shake.
Yeah, like they want the catcher. Yeah,
so you want lesser. I mean, they certainly can use him. They moved Wilson Contreras off catcher. He's now playing first base for them. So what if it was? All right. Well, this just crossed my mind. What if they somehow packaged in like a Mike Lowell, Josh Beckett trade? You want Arenado? You're taking fucking Wilson Contreras. Like, would the Yankees be willing to do that?
Well, the fact that they just made the deal for Goldschmidt tells me, like, the Astros had some players in mind or had some ideas in mind, and they were able to work that out. And now it's like, well, this is what we want if you want Nolan Arenado, as in the other way would be, hey, we'll give you Nolan Arenado if you give us this. There's a difference in that conversation, you know?
Yeah.
There's a difference between the two. And I think that's where the conversation with the Astros is what the Cardinals want. It's like, hey, you give us these two guys, we'll give you Arenado. You know, and I think that's how that's happening. But
I think
the Goldschmidt thing is great for the Yankees. Like I said, I am not a Yankee fan, but if you are a Yankee fan, how could you be upset with the winter they are having? I mean, they've rebuilt the pitching. They have a really good first baseman. Goldschmidt is a really good baseball player.
On a one-year deal.
That's fine.
No, but so it's good. That's exactly it's fine. What, a 37-year-old should be on a one-year deal.
Yeah. You lost on Soto, but look at all these other gains you have. You know, everyone was worried about them getting Pete Alonso. I'm sorry, Z. I'd rather have a one-year Paul Goldschmidt than have a fucking 10-year or 8-year Pete Alonso.
Pete Alonso's not getting 10 years. So
I'm
if
just
you're
trying
like,
to say,
yeah.
like, if you're a Yankee fan, how could you be upset with everything they've done so far? They went and got a closer. They have a closer now. Like, come on. They're making some great moves.
So
What Yankee fans,
from what I understand, when going on X and follow us at FadeRouteDNZ, by going through social media, I'm seeing that they're considering that Paul Goldschmidt may be washed at 37 years old. They're calling Brian Cashman like a bargain basement dumpster diver.
He is.
This is what teams have to do. It's called building depth.
He's going to have great – he's going to get off to a great start, a whopping 239 average with – like 10 home runs and like 37 RBI, and then you're going to hit the dog days of summer where he's going to bat like 190, 180 and just really struggle. That's what you're going to get, but that's okay. That's okay.
And you have Ben Rice, so you have an opportunity for a platoon.
Not only that, but he's still a problem. Like, he's still a guy you got to get out. He's still batting near Stanton, near Judge. And, you know, it's still a guy you have to get out. Now, if the Yankees go and get Bregman, I mean, that's it. They did everything you could want. And they didn't go get Christian Walker,
right, which
is the guy I don't know why anybody would want. But the Astros went and got him, and that's good for he's a Southwest guy. So it's okay. That's great for you, Christian. And I'm sure you will do very well with the Astros.
He will. It's a smaller ballpark, and the ball flies out of there. So it's very similar to what he's used to in Arizona.
It's fine. You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event. We go on to even bigger stories, Z. Bigger, huge, immense. The Bucks are the Emirates NBA Cup champions. Woo! Woo! So,
I kind of feel like you're putting that on.
So, after the game, reporters asked Commissioner Silver about the declining NBA ratings, and Silver said he is happy with the NBA product, and cable ratings are down across the board. NBA viewership is down, and young fans are streaming clips of games instead of watching the whole game on cable television. So, is Commissioner Silver delusional, or does he not want to publicly admit the NBA is in trouble?
I'm sure Michelob loved seeing those cans of beer on ice remain on ice. I'm sure they loved that. I'm sure that, you know, Doc coming out and saying, oh, it's just another game. We're not celebrating. Like, there's nothing to celebrate here. Just like Darvin Ham did last year. Oh, there's nothing to fucking celebrate here. Like, we're on to Cincinnati. Like, they're Bill Belichick. Like, you just got publicly punked out by two of your head coaches. Well, one former head coach, because Darvin Ham got his ass fired. But there's no way in hell that Adam Silver truly believes this. If he truly believes this, then he is a moron. Let's be real here. He is an absolute moron if he truly believes the product is better than ever, and we're just not viewing it correctly. We're just not consuming the content correctly. Like, no! Yep. Ratings are down, dude. The gimmicks, the hats on a hat, it's not working. The different colored courts, the tournament, it's not working. Now, here's something. You hit on something that may work. They're doing a study on the disparity, you know, the huge number of three-point shots and how they can somehow work with that and how to try to get driving to the basket back into the game, how they can minimize three-point shooting so it just doesn't become a pull-up contest, because that's what the NBA has become. It's a bunch of guys jogging down, pull up, shot, jog down, pull up, shot, jog down, pull up, shot. I got bored just saying that. I'm bored to death just repeating that sentence. Imagine watching that for 48 minutes. No, I'm done. Like, I'm good. I don't need to see that. Like, I would rather watch the AMSU girls basketball team. They pound the block. They go to the hole. They play hard nose basketball. The WNBA, people shit on the WNBA product. They play hard-nosed basketball. They play exciting basketball. The problem is that they can't get eyeballs. And that's a major problem. And the festering jealousy regarding Caitlin Clark, the person who brought eyeballs to the product. That's weird. Sorry. Like, somebody's coming and, you know, I'm bringing you viewers. Nah, fuck that. We don't want it. The NBA product is fucking dead. And Adam Silver is delusional if he truly believes that. Now, he may just be saving face. Now, if he's saving face and he's actually trying to actively, like, implement something a la Rob Manfred, if he's trying to, like, limit the number of threes or trying to augment the rules about when to take threes, I mean, I don't know. Like, we'll see. But, I mean, it's worth discussing. I don't know if it's going to fundamentally change the course of the game, just like the fundamental changes that Rob Manfred, in his infinite wisdom, have put together. Well done, Rob. So, well done. But, I don't know. I mean, if he's putting on a face while he's, you know, working in the lab, I mean, that's fine by me. But if he truly believes this, he's insane.
Yeah, I don't think there's any problem with admitting openly that you're trying to find a solve, that you're trying to make it more streamable or make it more accessible to fans. But to stand up there and say the NBA, we're proud of our product, when you've got players not playing in back-to-backs, your viewership is down, your numbers are down, you've got a coach who just won this cup saying it's just another game, I don't know how you could just say that.
you're right. I think you are delusional. You're delusional, unless you just don't want to openly admit. I'm going to think that he doesn't want to openly admit there's a problem. Because I think behind closed doors, they're trying to come up with a way to get players to stop taking so many threes, to make the court a little bit more interactive, to bring meaning to regular season games in December. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I mean, they're just getting crushed right now. I mean, look, you've got the college football playoff going on. You've got the NFL end of the season, which these games, most of them matter.
The NFL took then, Christmas Day from them.
And then you have NBA basketball, which is just a game in December, where five guys that I thought I wanted to see are not even playing in this game. Like, I just don't get, like, what is going to make me watch a game? Or better yet, Z, what's going to make me go to a game? Why would I pay to go see an NBA game when I don't know if the players I want to watch are going to actually play, when the game doesn't have a lot of meaning? You're right. They haphazardly walk up and down the court, chuck threes. There's no defending the basket. You get yours because we're going to get ours when we go down on the other end. Like, there's nothing. It's not a spectacle. It's almost like it's an exhibition. It's like, whatever. What I will say is in the Bucks game against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Cup Final, the Emirates Cup Final, they did play hard. I do believe they did, because it looked like they held the team under 100. Both teams, I think they actually scored under 100, which tells me that there was some defense being played. You know what's going to change the game, Z? It's players. It's players, and I don't see that player coming out. Like, if there's a Shaquille O'Neal that's coming out, well, that's going to change the game, friends, because now you're going to have to play defense, because he's just going to catch the ball and slam dunk it on everybody. And, oh, if you do miss that three-point shot, he's going to get the rebound, and they're going to run the court. So, ultimately, I think players dictate. I don't like when people say that Klay Thompson and Steph Curry ruined basketball. They didn't ruin basketball. They did what they were really good at. They took three-pointers, and they ran an offense that was about them shooting a lot, because they were a shooting team. Beat them. Figure out how to beat them.
But here's the problem with that.
The Cleveland Cavaliers did. It can happen. You know, is it going to happen over a course of 82 games? No. But that's the problem. He played too many games. The playoffs. It's it just gets ridiculous. Because that's the thing that the NBA is missing out on. You don't realize that you have 82 games, right? But the main reason why I'm going to go to Chicago to see the Bulls was because they had Michael Jordan. The main reason why I'm going to drive to Cleveland, Ohio, is to watch LeBron James and watch them play the Golden State Warriors and play Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Like, that's the reason why I would go to an NBA game. But now you've put that in jeopardy, because I don't know if when I go to a game, if those guys are really going to play. Right. So then what did I waste all my money for? What did I do with this? Aren't you better off just watching on TV? And then I don't even feel like watching on TV.
No, you're absolutely right. And I would argue, now I know you're mentioning that you don't think that Steph and Clay, they just did what they were good at. Yes, what they were good at. I agree with you. But now you got every Tom, Dick, and Harry asshole who can't shoot thinks he's Steph fucking Curry. And I think that's where
I don't think that's the case. I don't think he thinks he's Steph Curry. He's running an offense that his coach has coached him on, because it's much more advantageous to us to shoot threes in a high volume, because we're going to make 37 or 35% of them on a good night. And that's going to put us in the ballpark as if we took 80 to 90% two-pointers. So it's statistics 100%. But I wouldn't blame the player. The player's running the offense that he runs in practice, that he's taught to run. They're not running, and everybody's running the same offense. It's dribble, dribble, handoff. We're switching everything. There's no complexities to offenses. Nobody's running the triangle.
There doesn't need to be.
Nobody's running the the Princeton offense. No, well, actually, well, the dribble handoff is the Princeton offense, but nobody's running complicated plays to get baskets, to get easy twos. It's better for us to shoot the three-pointer because that's what we want to do, high-volume threes.
It's they've modified the triangle in Golden State and San Antonio, but they're also incorporating more of the handoff and shoot. The problem is that now you have a guy like Victor Wembanyama, right? Who could be that force that you're talking about down low. Why the fuck is he out there shooting threes? You're 7 foot motherfucking four. You're like Andre the Giant. Why is Andre the Giant shooting threes? Go down low, be a force down low. And this is what Zion could have been. Zion could have been the game changer. He could have been the guy that fundamentally, you know, changed how the complexity of the game was, right? He could have been that dominant force down low. Coming up, and this is what I'm saying, this is the problem. Kids are watching, right? Kids are watching, coaches are watching. They see this is effective. They're not going to coach the other way. Like, even when I'm coaching basketball, I'm coaching the high school team. Like, I still see it. The other teams, same thing. We're just going to bomb shots. We're going to take jumpers, 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 jumpers. Like, no, dribble penetration. You can't shoot. You can't shoot. You can't shoot. Get it through your head. You can't shoot.
I get kids doing it. I get kids doing it because when I was in grammar school and I was in high school, like, you see the three-point line and you want to take three-point shots. It's not just because, you know, you're watching it on TV. Well, when you take a 30-foot three-point shot, yeah, that's because you're watching the NBA. But, you know, everybody falls in love with the three-point line. I don't blame kids for that. But I do think that it's just the offenses in general.
And that's a lack of creativity, and that falls on the coaches. You're right. There's a combination of things. But
right. It's the coaches.
But at the same time, the coaches can only coach the players they get. So, especially at the NBA level. Like, there's some teaching. There's some elements of teaching, but you're getting the product that you're getting, right? You're getting somebody who came up through AAU, who came up through high school, who came up through college, and this is it. They're a relatively formed product. You know, you're going to talk like technical stuff. You're going to like, oh, minor adjustments, but you're not really like teaching at the level that you're teaching in like minor league baseball, for example. Like minor league baseball, there's a shit ton of nuance that you still need to learn, right? Minor league hockey, there's a little bit of nuance there. I mean, the difference between college football and the NFL, there are nuances there because the rules are different. But basketball is relatively consistent all the way up from AAU to the pros. So it's like a factory. You're getting the same goddamn thing. And we need something different. So who's gonna break the mold? Who's gonna be willing to say, like, we need to break the mold? I'm not so sure about that. And to tie it back to Adam Silver, like, I don't know what he's gonna do to break that mold. Because at the pro level, I mean, you're pretty much like, this is the generation you got. We talked about this. Who, you know, the next generation of pro. It's Anthony Edwards. It's Wemby. It's these guys. This is the system. And we have years. We have multiple years ahead of us where this is what we're going to see. So I think we still have multiple years of having the same goddamn conversation. We're just going to be banging our heads against the wall, waiting and hoping and praying. This is, you know, this is not what we asked for in Major League Baseball. We're begging for it in the NBA. I find that very interesting. Like, I mean, Rob Manfred, he augmented the rules so a guy like, so the stolen bases would matter again. So like Ricky Henderson would matter again. RIP Ricky Henderson, Man of Steel, 65 years old, gone too young.
But today, I'm the greatest of all time. Thank you.
But a guy like him would have been phased out of previous years. And now the stolen base matters again. How do you make things matter again in the NBA? I just don't see it. And I don't know if they see it either. And that's the major problem.
You can't help but just smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. PopStar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. PopStars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. PopStars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, PopStars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, PopStars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
At the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
Let's do it then.
Right.
Festivus is back. I'll get the pole out of the crawl space.
All right, boys and girls. The pole is up. No tinsel. It's too distracting. Hopefully you got your meatloaf, your mashed potatoes, your peas. You've invited everybody, and they're gathered around the table because it is time for our annual airing of grievances on this Festivus.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
And remember, Festivus is not over until you pin your father. So, we got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about it. So, who you got problems with, D?
All right, first up, I've got problems with Robert Saleh. 20-36 for the first 4 years, and all we did was hear about how we're a quarterback away. We're a quarterback away. Your press conferences were a joke, and a head coach of the New York Jets job is not for you anymore. I got a real problem with Robert Saleh. Number two, I've got a problem with former general manager of the New York Jets, Joe Douglas.
I'm sensing
he traded up to get Zach Wilson out of BYU, and he's now the third string quarterback of the Denver Broncos. You traded for Devontae Adams, and upon getting fired from the New York Jets, you appear to be running a smear campaign against the New York Jets owner Woody Johnson. Good luck getting another GM job, Joe Douglas. Number three, I've got a real problem with Aaron Rodgers.
Jeez.
Super Bowl or bust was the whole idea of your training camp. Gang's all here, and you are terrible. You cannot close out games. You haven't scored over 30 points. You haven't thrown for 300 yards. And the Jets were eliminated 3 weeks ago. And there's fucking 2 more weeks left in the season, Aaron. Thanks for nothing. Number four, I've got a problem with Rob Manfred.
Oh, geez.
You continue to ruin the game I love. A few weeks ago, you introduced a golden bat idea, which would allow a team to call on any player of their team to at bat whenever they want during a game. Sounds like wiffle ball to me, Z. And last but not least, I've got a problem with Bronny James. It was nice of the Lakers to draft you, so you could play with your dad. But let's get real. You should have stayed in college. And after a few more games, after a few games, you should have told yourself, Dad, I should go play in the G League. You shouldn't be in the NBA. You shouldn't be on the Lakers. And this is nepotism at its finest. I have a problem with all of you.
You can't argue with that. You really can't argue with any of those. I'm going to start. My number one problem is with NFL officiating. How many more favorable calls are you going to give the Kansas City Chiefs? It's to the point where people are now recognizing it, right? They're laughing about it. They're posting it on X. Even former players are unburdened. And they're talking about how openly you guys are favoring the Chiefs. It's amazing. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a detailed tweet or X post, whatever you call them these days, about the typical Chiefs drive. Bailed out by a call. Mahomes avoids a sack. Pan to Taylor Swift, pan to a pissed off Travis Kelce, touchdown Chiefs. That's what the Chiefs have become. The Chiefs have become boring. The Chiefs, I have to say, and I wonder, I would love your opinion on this. Who is becoming the villain here? Are the Chiefs the villain, or is the NFL the villain in all
of
this?
They're trying to make the Chiefs the villain, but I don't feel it. It's not like those Patriot days where Tom was getting every call whenever he got hit late.
But it was never it's that. It never seemed that egregious, though. Like, it never seemed so comically egregious.
Go back and watch the AFC champ, the 2018 AFC Championship game. No, Pat Mahomes is too nice. And everybody loves Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Everybody loves Andy Reid. They're not, people might, some people might try to make them, but I don't see it. I don't have a problem. No. I don't have a problem with them. I don't hate them. I don't hate them like I used to hate the Yankees.
No.
I don't have a problem with them at all. I don't hate them like I used to hate Peyton Manning. I have no problem. Now that he's gone, I don't really care what he does. I don't hate him like I used to hate Brett Favre. Like, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They're good. They're okay. Even this year, they're okay.
My beef with them is the officiating. It really is. Like, how do you take that fumble? It was a fumble, return for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you take the touchdown off the board. You give a roughing the passer penalty after the fact. Dude, come on. And then you have the Raider game. The botch snap, fumble recovery, Raiders win. Or do that. Bro, what the fuck? Like, they allow Spagnuolo to call timeouts? Not his job.
Allowed the ball boy to call the timeout last week. Did you see that?
They allowed the ball boy. NFL fish. Yes. It's like, you can't do that. You can't. Why are there?
I know that guy. I know that guy too. That's great.
What the fuck? He's like, how do you allow that?
That's awesome.
It just smells. It smells. So I got a major problem with NFL officiating. Number two, baseball media. That I got a big problem with baseball media. The Shohei Ohtani bullshit. The entire storyline of, oh, what's Ohtani going to do? He's going to play it close to the vest. Who's he going to sign? Signs with the Dodgers. Yay. And then they bury the Mitsuhata thing, right? The guy who's doing time for Ohtani, right? We believe that he's doing time for Ohtani. And it's really not that far from the truth. And then you have Fox. You have three at-bats, three more hitters until Shohei's up. It's like, dude, I got fucking fatigue from Shohei Ohtani, and it was opening day. That's bullshit. I am sick and tired of hearing about Shohei Ohtani, and you're doing it again with Juan Soto. It's gotten to the point where I don't even like Juan Soto. I mean, he's a fine baseball player. I don't like him. Yeah, the Mets got him. Whoopee! I'm tired of you, of this nonsense. I'm tired of it. Cover the rest of the league. There are plenty of other guys out there besides Shohei Ohtani and Juan fucking Soto, right? There's plenty of people. There are plenty of really good players out there. Like, I understand that you're trying to find the marketable face of Major League Baseball. I understand that you totally whiffed on Harper. You whiffed on Trout. You haven't had anybody since who? Ken Griffey Jr.? Jeter didn't want it. A-Rod couldn't handle it. None of these guys are worth it. Stop, stop, stop. Ohtani ain't it. There are plenty of people who love Ohtani. There are way more people who are tired of Ohtani. There are plenty of people who love Juan Soto. There are plenty of people who are tired of Juan Soto. This guy included. So, MLB media, I got a big fucking problem with you guys. Number three, the New York Rangers. I got a huge friggin' problem with you guys. How do you go from the Eastern fucking Conference Championship to this crap that you have out on the ice? You have totally destroyed what you were building. Yes, I understand that Zibanejad is playing soft. Kreider is playing soft. Panarin's at least scoring. Panarin and Trocheck are at least scoring. Not in the frequency you would like, but they're putting the puck in the net. You keep trotting out these same fucking guys. You know, you got rid of Gallant. You got rid of Quinn. You're going to get rid of Laviolette. But you're going to keep trotting these fucking assholes out there. They're soft. They're soft as the toilet paper you wipe your ass with. All right? S-A-W-F-T. Soft. And the two guys that actually brought grit to the team? You finagled their contracts and you got rid of them. Goodrow, we're going to put you on waivers. Okay. Worked out a backdoor deal with San Jose. You know, I understand business is business, right? Trouba, we're going to put you on waivers. Worked out a deal with Anaheim. Just selling off pieces left and right. I understand it's part of the job, but there are ways to do it where you don't come off looking like a fucking villain. And then Capo Caco, just last week. Got a problem with the guys in the room? Well, fuck you. You're going to get traded. Yeah, he's on a restricted free agent contract. He's probably not going to get re-signed, yada, yada, yada. Very suspicious that he makes the comments, and a day later, he gets traded. You're telling me you had that lined up before he opened his mouth? Dude, I don't think so. I think it's way too goddamn suspicious. Sorry, I don't believe you. New York Rangers, get your heads out of your ass and rebuild this thing. Because you were... You got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Yes, you lost to the Panthers. The Panthers whooped that ass. But you were in that series. You were in that series. You could have won that series. With these same very guys. And now, you're looking for the mouthpiece. You're, right? you're on the mat looking for your mouthpiece. New York Rangers, I got a major, major problem with you. And then my last one... MLS. You put your games behind a paywall. Big problem. You anoint Lionel Messi as your savior. You award him the MVP where he didn't win the Golden Boot. He wasn't a top assist leader. He wasn't top in anything. Why did he get the MVP? Because he brought eyeballs? Because Inter Miami was so good? They weren't that good. They got bounced in the first round by Atlanta United. Oops. Did I say the thing we're not supposed to say out loud? He's been a net positive in terms of getting asses in seats. That was the largest gate in Yankee Stadium for a soccer match in years. Mrs. Z and I were there with the boys. We watched NYCFC take it to Messi and shut him down. Do not trip over yourselves to anoint this man as the MVP. I'm sure he wouldn't want it either. It's just another one of his trophies. And then just wait in a couple years when Cristiano Ronaldo comes here and he signs for like DC United. And it's like, you know, you're a pawn in the game. Viewership is down. Your MLS Cup matchup, yeah, I get it. It's not ideal. Galaxy and Red Bulls, 50%. You were down 50%. Fucking percent just from the year before. Your product is dying and you are killing it. Don Garber, MLS, I got a major problem with you.
Read that poem.
I can't read it. I need my glasses.
You don't need glasses. You're just weak. You're weak.
Leave him alone.
Now, get ready. You're going to read that poem. You're going to fight your father. And it's not over. Festivus is not over until you pin him. Happy Festivus to all who celebrate. H&H Bagels on us.
It's a Festivus miracle!
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted-ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted-ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be one Mr. Kirk Cousins. Ugh. Oof.
That guy.
That is going to be an expensive mistake by the Atlanta Falcons. But, hey, maybe he'll renegotiate it and get some money in Coles cash.
His agent is the best agent ever.
It's amazing.
Scott Boris, eat your heart out. My man.
You got so much for so little. That's
coming
Kirk Cousins.
Off of an Achilles injury, this guy got a freaking guaranteed deal. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And he's going to get a guaranteed deal next year because he's still on that contract. Somebody's going to trade for him. Somebody's going to say,
They're going to cut him.
And then he's going to get more guaranteed money. Like the king of the bag. Kirk Cousins, king of the bag.
He'll be a Giants. Near Giants.
I hope not. I really hope not. But I can see it. That's
Carolina
the thing.
Carolina Panther.
Cleveland Brown. It depends on what do with Deshaun Watson. Here's another fucking guy.
Yeah.
Do you think they go to each other's houses and like compare? Do you think they compare bank accounts? Like, bro, this is what I got.
No. That's too low for Kirk.
Oh, jeez.
Trump for a guy who's never won anything his whole life, like never, even in Michigan, Michigan State, he was never that good. He was just a guy.
You're right. Wow. Let's not forget, he was the backup plan to RG3.
No.
This is the most expensive plan B of all time. Good job, Kirk Cousins. Maybe that should be your nickname. Maybe your plan B.
And really, the Redskins are the ones that crew all them. The commies. At the time it was the Redskins.
It's fine. At the time, they
created this problem because they kept franchising him.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting him go or cutting him or just not signing him or trading him, they kept franchising him. And it got to the point where it was like, well, I ain't going to accept less than this.
Right. I mean, the market exploded.
Minnesota gives him the first fully guaranteed contract in NFL history. His agent is the best.
Unbelievable. But
I want to sit in those meetings and hear what they talk about.
Me too. But, you know, we're definitely not done with him. So for that, he is the alleged superstar of last week. But that is last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I have wide receiver on the Seattle Seahawks, DK Metcalf, in a game where Seattle absolutely had to have. You registered 3 catches on 7 targets, 57 yards, and a tutty, while Jackson Smith-Njigba had 12 targets, 8 receptions, 95 yards, and a tutty. Who's the number one receiver on this team? DK Metcalf, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number 2, Baker Mayfield. Undefeated at AT&T Stadium in high school, college, and the pros.
Oops.
Until facing the mathematically eliminated Cowboys on Sunday night with Cooper Rush as their quarterback. Baker Mayfield, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number 3, Adam Silver. After the Emirates Cup, you justified NBA's ratings being down due to cable ratings being down overall. you are the commissioner of the NBA. Do you not realize, like, NFL ratings carry CBS, they carry Fox, they carry ESPN, the Olympics carry NBC? Try to figure out how your sport could do the same. Adam Silver, you are my legend superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
You can't go wrong with those. I mean, you really, really can't. I'm going to start with Matt Rimby. Eight games suspension for his hit on Miro Heiskanen of the Dallas Stars. That violated multiple NHL rules, according to the Department of Player Safety. I get it, dude's 6'8", he's 7 foot on skates, you can't teach that. The problem is, you can teach where to hit a guy. You can teach not to throw an elbow, not to board. When the guy's turned, don't hit him! These are things that you can teach, but apparently Mr. Rempe just... either he's not learning or he's not being taught properly. So, in his short career, he has been ejected 4 times. 4 times, I believe, in 20 games. Matt Rempe has been kicked out of the game. So that's a major league problem. And if he wants to have a long career in the NFL, in the NHL, excuse me, you know, he may be better suited for the NFL. But... if he wants to have a long career in the NHL, he's got to learn where the strike zone is. He's got to learn when to hit somebody. And he has to remember that he's so much fucking taller, he's got to get low. Got to get low, son. Matt Rempe, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, the college football playoff. How many more blowouts do we need to see? We've touched on that a bunch of times. And we're only going to get more, boys and girls. It's only going to get worse. So, strap in. Make sure you're ready for that. Because, yeah, that's what we're getting. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get more mediocre college football between haves and have-nots. That 50 feet of crap is coming. Just give it some time. College football playoff. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number 3, the New York Giants. And I'm going to put the Raiders in there too. We're swirling down the drain here. And the Giants just the fucking drizzling shits against the Atlanta Falcons. 2 pick-sixes. Evan Neal flopping on the floor like a dead fish. I don't know what the fuck that was. Tip drill, Matthew Judon, easy pick 6. Drew Locke looks fucking terrible out there. He looks like Jay Cutler when he was a Dolphin. He doesn't want to be there. He just looks fucking awful. Start Tim Boyle. Just go the rest of the way. You're actively trying to suck. I understand what you're trying to do. Shedeur Sanders, Photoshop the Giant uniform on and put an X post out there, Instagram post saying spectacular. That's awesome. That he wants to come. You want him here. Make it happen. The Raiders, on the other hand, who are actively trying to suck as well, beat the Jaguars. In this race for number 1, you fucked yourself over. Do you really think the Giants can win? You really think the Giants can win more games? No. No, they can't. What the fuck are you doing? And I love how they were linking Antonio Pierce, once a Giant, always a Giant. Thank you. That's a wonderful gift, coach. Thank you, Antonio Pierce. Well done, well done, well done. This is not even the treadmill of mediocrity. It is the drain of drizzling shits. Think about all the crappy teams you have this year. You have the Titans. You have the Browns. The Jets are fucking terrible. They're number 8. You have a lot of crappy-ass teams. And they all miraculously have the same record. All of them are 3 wins, kind of hovering in that drain. NFL needs to fix this, because this is atrocious. Giants, Raiders, you're the poster boys for this. You are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And 4 our nominees. You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the goal route. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.